Hello and welcome to Press TV News Analysis. I'm Kavitah Fahey. As children in Gaza live and die on contaminated water, as patients die in Gaza's hospitals due to lack of electricity and medicine, and as Gazans experience a five-year-old siege that is stripping them of basic necessities, that is not enough for Israel. During the past 6 days, numerous airstrikes by drones, assassination drones, have killed over a dozen Palestinians. In this news analysis, we ask, where is the international community in the face of Israeli aggression, and for how long will they remain silent?
A fresh Israeli airstrike on the enclave. This man was killed when an Israeli drone fired a missile in northern Gaza. But he was not the only victim. Early in the day, a five-year-old boy was killed in an Israeli airstrike. Now, the Palestinian resistance group Hamas threatens to end an Egyptian-brokered truce with Israel. In a statement, Hamas called the airstrikes new crimes by the, quote, Zionist enemy. The movement says it won't remain silent in the face of Israeli crimes. In a tit-for-tat response, Hamas has fired over 30 rockets and mortar shells. It says it will continue the firing of long-range Grad rockets if Tel Aviv carries out more attacks on Palestinian civilians. But why is Israel attacking Gaza at this point in time? In recent months, Tel Aviv has tried its best to weaken Syria as a major supporter of Palestinian resistance groups. With the help of its traditional allies, Saudi Arabia, Turkey and Qatar, Israel has tried to break the axis of resistance made up of Syria, Lebanon's Hezbollah and Iran. Israel focused on Syria after Tel Aviv's failure in its 2006 war against Hezbollah and its inability to rally the world against Tehran. And now the Israelis seem to be taking the war to the Gaza Strip, where the defenseless people of Palestine are getting killed on a daily basis, as the so-called free world remains shamelessly silent.
Let me introduce our guests. We have from Gaza, Harry Fearer, British activist and filmmaker who joins us. From London, Haitham al-Sabahi from the Syrian Social Club, and author and Middle East expert Saab Shah, who joins us from Belfast. Gentlemen, welcome first to you, Harry Fearer. You're in Gaza. Israel has killed over a dozen Palestinians in the past 6 days. In retaliation, they said, to rocket fire from the Gaza Strip, which have killed none, injuring one. Don't you think this is excessive, disproportionate use of force by Israel, not to mention that they're using these assassination drone attacks?
It's clearly excessive force. It's clearly illegal in terms of international law. It's clearly morally unjustifiable, and the world should be outraged by this reality. In the last 7 days, Israel has killed over 15 people, including children, including a child, Ali al-Sawafi, a four-year-old child. It's injured over 50 people. And what does the world do? What's the world's reaction? I can't hear it. This is the problem we face. Where is the world? Where is the international community?
Haitham al-Sabahi, can you answer that for us? Where is the international community?
Well, good evening to you and to your guests and your viewers. I believe Israel is doing the favor to the international community. After their failure in Syria, they're trying to save the face of this United States and a few European countries. Of course, those countries are using the Zionist state to act on their behalf and to act on their on behalf of their tools of Saudi Arabia and Qatar. So they're launching those airstrikes to divert the attention to Gaza, but be sure they will not, the Arab League will not convene, the Security Council will not convene. Israel has turned Gaza to a large prison. I mean, they talk always, they come out to us and the United States and its allies and the Zionist state about human rights and human issues, but when it comes to them, they just throw it to the wall. I mean, they will not say anything because these poor people, I must say, I mean, Gaza is a large prison, deprived of every necessity, medicine, electricity, I mean, all sorts of things. It's enough. I mean, we should from now on raise the voice, and if they will just want to run away from Syria, they should not start to attack Gaza just to divert the attention there and claim they're claiming they are the victims because of the Al-Qassam and others' missiles, but the reality is this is show the Arab failure to act, I mean, and not to say a word. Those countries like Turkey, the Gulf States, and the United States, they were quick to have a firing statements against Syria, and now we know exactly what's happening to Syria because of its stance, and it stands with the Palestinians and it stands with the Gaza. But I hope, I mean, and I am sure our compass pointing always toward the Palestine and nothing else.
Right. Let me bring in Saab Shah. Saab Shah, do you think this is the reason why this escalation from Israel towards the Gaza Strip, in terms of, let's say Syria and its support for resistance groups, in this case in point, Palestinian resistance groups, and we can mention Hamas, of course. I mean, what is the reason behind this escalation from Israel?
The recent escalation is Israel want to emphasize the point that any Israeli being attacked or any target in Israel, the entity of Israel being attacked, Gaza, it doesn't matter where it is, but Gaza have to be the price. If it's hit in the north or in the south, Gaza have to be hit and pay the price. And the resistance in Gaza decided, and Hamas joined them, they are not going to accept this such an equation. And the Palestinian resistance believe with the change happening in Egypt, they are stronger. And militarily, they are stronger. And they can counterbalance any attack. Israel attack, they will attack Israel. The resistance hit them with 150 rockets in replying for their airstrike and land strike against Palestinians, which they see the Israelis systematically committing war crimes against the civilians and population in Gaza, and that's not acceptable to the Palestinians or the Palestinian resistance. As your previous guest mentioned, and your guest from Gaza, the Palestinians being targeted for nothing, while the Arabs, they will not do anything. And they actually, most of the members of the Arab League consider Israel as their partner in crimes against the resistance camp, against Syria, against Iran, and they will not do anything against the Palestinians. While the Palestinians are urging them and urging the international community, and the human rights organizations will intervene immediately to stop the war crimes against the targeting of the Palestinian civilians. So we see there is a change in the equation right now, which the Palestinians feel in Gaza. They are not going to take it anymore, and they're going to reply again, and they feel they are stronger, and militarily they are more equipped. But at the same time, I can say myself, where is the United Nations, which should clarify to us that the state of Israel, the Zionist entity, is not a state above the international law or a humanitarian law. The United Nations should at least take a step and should show us it can revoke its membership of the state of Israel, because the UN knows this state hasn't respected the human rights principles, laws, or the United Nations conventions. There is over 60 UN resolutions regarding Palestine and the Palestinian refugees Israel didn't respect. Let us not forget, such convention and resolution were the main tools used to creating that entity which called Israel and accepting it as a member of the United Nations. So the United Nations obliged now to stop the double standards and to impose its will, if they really mean business, on the rogue Zionist state of Israel.
Right. Well, in terms of anybody meaning business would be activists, Harry Feher, of which you are one. You're also a filmmaker. And it has been the activists that have brought the plight of Palestinians time and again to the attention of the world, because the UN has failed in that respect. And tell us more about what you have seen in Gaza, and please put into perspective for us the fact that this land and sea blockade has contributed to what has been called a slow death. So we might not hear about maybe 16, 15 people being killed in 5 days, but through the months and through the years, because of this blockade that has contributed to the deaths of Palestinians. Explain to us what you've experienced there.
Well, my experiences today, as a small collection of examples, I was making an interview with one former Palestinian political prisoner who was imprisoned by Israel but then went on hunger strike and was exiled to Gaza. And when I was making this interview, we heard an explosion within 2 kilometers away. In Gaza, this is normal. It's normal to hear people being blown to bits. This is normal. The interviewee did not even flinch. Why does the world accept this, I asked myself. Later today, I went to go and get a cold drink from a cafe. The frontage of the cafe had been totally shattered, the glass, and various other shops nearby, because one of the Israeli strikes last night had shattered the glass, even though it was 300 meters away, even more from the actual site of the attack. You see that there are sort of insidious effects of this violence, even on small businesses, even. And later today, only a few hours ago, Israel made a further attack from, I believe, a drone, assassinating one man in what's actually known in Gaza as a sort of a fairly affluent area. And indeed, he was assassinated near a university. And about 14 people were injured as a result of this. So this is, in Israel's eyes, a targeted assassination. But I ask your viewers to question the definition of targeted if 14 people, perhaps from universities, are caught up in this violence. So in terms of the Gaza Strip being blocked in and the condition of the siege, indeed, Gazans are starved, some of them by food. Simply, they do not have enough money. They're impoverished, and some of them are starved by Israel. But I would say, in general, we have the situation with the electricity. We deal here with having something extraordinary, like 4 hours of electricity today on, a day on average over a week. We have water, which children shouldn't be swimming in. We have drinking water, which people shouldn't be drinking. We have hospitals, which look more like zoos or places where cattle would be sold. They're so full and inadequate to cope with the devastation that's occurring here. We have a lack of medicine, a chronic lack of medicine. We have a lack of paracetamol, even this. So the situation, frankly, is desperate, yes, indeed. And I ask the world to do something about this.
Haitham al-Sabahi, I'd like to find out what you think is on the back of Israel's mind here regarding this escalation in terms of future plans towards the Gaza Strip. They have said that this is not in retaliation to what happened over in the Sinai. If there is any possibilities of them retaking that, their plans for the Gaza, how do you see it?
No, I believe this new attacks on Gaza is coming out from the region policy. I must say to your guest in Gaza, the world is not saying anything, because this Zionist who appointed the tyrant in Washington, I mean, and that's how they work on it. And when Israel has to come out to the limelight and use its tools to suppress the Palestinians, this is the time they will do it. They will do it to cover on their allies in Qatar, to cover on Saudi, and to divert the attention. That's all what about. And I'm afraid the Palestinians, this nation who seems to me the world doesn't care for what's happened to them. I mean, this is not today, is not last year, it's been going for 60 years. And now the world has to look at this. For what happened the last 15 years in the region, and the United States acting like Thailand in the Middle East, and doing what it wants. Now is the whole area is slipping out of their hands, and after the attack in Syria, raised the question in the region, and the stand of Iran, Syria, Hezbollah, with, I must say, with the free world. Hopefully there is a new world order, so those tyrants are defending themselves by leashing left and right, leashing on Syria, leashing on Gaza. I don't know what is next. I mean, I hope also for the Egyptian to sit back and have a little bit of thought. They told us after Mubarak, Rafah crossing will be opened straight away. It seems to me the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt doing nothing. Maybe they signed the paper. So the Egyptian people, they have to do something because this situation in Gaza is not acceptable anymore. There is nothing there in Gaza to live for. These people, they have to leave. The regional power has to see what they're going to do about them. Enough, it's enough. I mean, they are a human being. Where is Amnesty International? Where is the human rights? I mean, all the acting against Syria on fabrication and YouTube videos. This is now they can see the real pictures. The real pictures coming out of Gaza, and they do nothing. Right. Well, they have to do, something in the next few days, or this situation is going to escalate beyond the reach.
Well, that's what we're trying to figure out, Saeb Shath. If this was to escalate in terms of Israel, what are their plans? We've seen what they've done to the Gaza Strip. Perhaps they're taking advantage of Egypt being focused on their elections. Is that the case? And also, do they have plans in terms of regionally speaking on not only Gaza but the Sinai to retake that? Because there have been some news reports about that. How do you see it?
I don't think they are actually trying to pressurize the Egyptian masses, not the Egyptian politicians or even the Muslim Brotherhood. There's done deals in there. But the masses, they can influence the decision-taking from now on. And they're trying to put a de facto situation in Gaza, which they're not going to be a change in the future, and they're going to not succeed in that. I can say to them, they were defeated at the hands of the resistance in 2006, at the hands of the Lebanese resistance led by Hezbollah. They were defeated. And they've been the Zionists and the Americans and Arabic reactionary teams attacking Syria for a year and a half, and they couldn't do anything. They couldn't defeat the resistance camp. And the balance of power is tilting. United States of America is losing control in the Arab world. They are not. They cannot even sustain their position like last year. They are losing to the masses and losing to the resistance. Whatever this organization, even a humanitarian organization like Amnesty International or Human Rights Watch or even anti-war movements who's been bought by think tanks, CIA-financed think tanks, to give the impression worldwide this is a humanitarian organization are approve their policies. We understand exactly what's happening. And the balance of power is tilting, as I'm saying here. There's rising powers, and they're facing the United States of America and Israel's domination in the Middle East. And they're going to lose at some stage. And that's why they're using Gaza as a chip which they can compromise with the Egyptians or with the Arab regimes, and they can bring even the brothers in Gaza to be a party to the Qatari or this, so the Israelis can stop their attacks, or the Muslim Brotherhood can do a deal in there. And that's not going to happen, since the people and the resistance, as I emphasize again, they are winning. Whatever the deal going to happen in Egypt, the people going to change. The ones who toppled Mubarak and the Zionist entity was controlling Egypt, they can topple any regime. It doesn't matter who comes in Egypt. And the counter-revolution which they are trying to impose its agenda in different areas of the Arab world is going to fail. A revolution doesn't take a day or a month or a year. It takes more than that. They used Latin America as the testing ground before, and in Indonesia, and killed thousands, and even up from the stages, millions. But they failed at the end of the day. So in the Arab world, they will fail again, and revolution will succeed, and will brush them outside with their Zionist entity outside the Middle East.
Okay. Harry Feher, I'm not too sure if this is your first time in the Gaza Strip, but I assume something drew you to go to Gaza. I'm sure there was a picture painted in terms of the situation there, and I'd like you to relate your sentiments of how the British government has supported Israel, how you were fed the news, and then when you went to Gaza, what happened? How did things then been portrayed for you? How did it pretty much unfold in front of your eyes?
Indeed. Before I came, I was preoccupied with the interest in the conflict. I cared about the conflict. I followed the events both with the mainstream news and also independent reporting, even on social networking sites, to try to really get the news as it happens, because we know that we cannot rely on the mainstream news companies in Britain. I was drawn because I wanted to put my actions where my words were, to come here and to stand in solidarity with Gazans and try and document some of the conditions that are going on here. Now, I was, in one sense, pleasantly surprised that most Palestinians haven't totally fallen into a sense of despair, given the circumstances, and that most of them actually do manage to sort of continue their lives with an amazing sense of steadfastness, which they call sumud. Earlier today, I made an interview with a leader of a resistance movement, indeed the primary resistance, violent resistance movement in Gaza. And I, in fact, was, if you like, talking to a terrorist, according to the beliefs of my government in Britain, and indeed European Union, America, Canada, Australia. And in talking to a terrorist, I heard, so-called terrorist, I should say, I heard a plea from the world, actually, a plea from the world that the situation here is desperate. And in his words, he said, "Our land has been stolen. Do you want us to communicate with roses and kisses? What do you expect us to do?" And indeed, one of the other guests mentioned that there are various nation states supporting the Palestinian people, even with their violent resistance. But I don't see very much support for the Palestinian people. I see rudimentary weapons which do little to no damage and cause little to no civilian injury or military injury in Israel. I see, really, to be honest with you, in symbolic or metaphorical terms, I see someone being raped and someone slapping the rapist. This is how I see the situation. Yes. In the last week, how many Palestinians have been killed? How many Israelis have been killed? How many Israeli children have been killed?
Okay, we're going to leave it on that note. Thank you very much, Harry Feher, British activist and filmmaker from Gaza. We appreciate your statements. I'd also like to thank Haytham Al-Sabahi from the Syria Social Club with his statements from London. And also Saab Shah, thank you very much, author and Middle East expert there from Belfast. And thank you for watching another edition of the Press TV News Analysis. Any comments or suggestions, we're always open to them. Do send them the old-fashioned way, newsroom@presstv.ir. From Mika Vatahvayeh and our team here in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.